Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. I'm Ann Carrick, and Vincent Caprio is here as well. And not only is water innovations solving the world's problems through technology, we're talking about some of those problems today. And our next guest is Mark Montalewski. And Mark, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah, it's always close enough. You know, the family doesn't say it right. Ever since we moved from Poland, we seem to have picked up a bad American accent.
What is it really, Modzelewski?
They pronounce it actually like Modzelewski. We pronounce it Modzelewski, as if it's M-O-Z. So I'm really not sure. My family and the Polish part of the family always corrects me when I visit.
And actually, Mark claims to be the second most famous person from Naugatuck. Mark is from the valley, all for all you listeners.
Really?
And who was the first?
Born and raised in Naugatuck, yeah.
And you know that you are the second Mark Modzelewski that I met. I know another Mark Modzelewski, same name, same spelling, everything right here in Fairfield County. I mean, what are the chances of that?
You know what? There was another Mark Modzelewski about four blocks from my house in Naugatuck.
Not related, though.
Not related.
Interesting.
All right, yeah. Well, let's get to the numbers.
Well, I was going to say, I think you were already on hold when you heard me ask that question that we had a caller. I'm not sure you heard the caller because I think you were calling it at the same time. But he was concerned about third world countries and the population growth and their increased use of energy and consumption of water. And my guess is that even with all that population growth and increased usage, that the United States is probably still using more energy and more water than a lot of those other countries.
Well, you know, that's true, but it's one of those things that needs some clarification, in the sense that if you're actually to look at, use of water per GDP, the U.S. produces a lot, and a lot of these countries don't produce anything. And so, you can say what the global benefit is of the water. And also, water is local. It's not really transferable. It's very hard to move around, at least fresh water. And, the fact that you use a lot in New England, frankly, doesn't do a lot of bad things to the environment. I mean, polluting it does, but the actual use goes back to the aquifer. It's regenerated through weather systems. It's really not a big deal. A lot of the arguments are sort of false arguments. If you live in a water-stressed area like the American West, for instance, or parts of the American West,
California,
and you use too much. Yeah, California, Colorado, New Mexico, and you use too much. Yeah, you're screwing up.
Right.
And a lot of it, frankly, is them also misusing water in real big ways. It's not everyone talks about taking the shower too much, low flow toilets. A lot of places, 75% of your water use in a household out west is often your lawn. You should have a desert landscape. It's
right,
instead of having rich green grass, but your condo association will fine you, or you can't.
Yeah, no, and I've heard that a lot, and I think there are people in Phoenix, for example, who got rid of the grass and put rocks out there and sprayed them green with paint because they wanted it to look green, but they knew that grass was just, it was ridiculous to try to maintain grass in Phoenix. There was not enough water given the heat and the sun.
So when the thought leaders and the pundits say the water energy nexus, why don't you explain what that means?
It's actually a lot of different levels. I mean, when you're talking about water use, especially wastewater, you're talking about, frankly, in most states, the largest user of energy. Moving water around between, the wastewater processing. I'll give you an example in California, between getting it the water up to the farmland, to desal plants, to wastewater plants, dealing with all the people in the state. You're talking well over 30% of the energy use in the state is actually to deal with water.
To move the water around.
Just to move the water around, or, as part of the treatment, as part of manufacturing processes, things like that, or just using the energy. It's amazing just what finding simple solutions to that would do.
Are you still there, Mark?
Well,
I think we just lost Mark mid-sentence. We'll get him back on the phone. But well, Vincent, you can probably continue on this path he was headed until we get him back on the line.
Believe it or not, 70% of all of our electricity in the United States is generated through water. Now, the United States government says that by 2025, we are going to need 30% more energy. So think about that calculus.
Because of the moving the water around, or in general?
Because of the electricity needs. So I know you were a math major. So in 15 years from now, the United States needs 30% more electricity.
And we're already using up more than we, based on what we generate, it's already difficult, especially in certain areas.
Right. So when you take a look at the countries, and we're going to move Mark to this, you take a look at a country like India, their aquifers are drying up. You take China, their aquifers are drying up.
Look at the problem we had in Atlanta recently.
Right.
Where you looked at these huge bodies of water that were the supply for all sorts of surrounding areas, and they were absolutely bone dry with cracking mud underneath. So, Mark, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
And I just started.
You could thank Steve Jobs for.
So I was just explaining that the United States government has said, while you were gone, I needed to come out with some numbers, that in 15 years from now, 2025, we're going to need 30% more electricity. Why don't you comment on that?
Yeah, and a great amount of that, frankly, again, is water related, and one of the reasons is people are leaving places where there are water for places that they're not. Again, California growing in population, Texas growing in population, and you know this trend, on the surface, seems fine. They're very big states and things like that, but you know, very quietly behind the scenes, you know, it's costing a lot in energy to continue to figure out how to get it there. You know, the city of Denver, for instance, you know, they've dammed up huge parts on what's the western slope. So literally, you go over these 14,000 foot tall mountain ranges, you know, where ski resorts are out in Vail and things like that. And those valleys, several of them have been flooded by the city of Denver, and then that water is piped all the way to Denver, which is, you know, like 4 hours away.
You know, we should have paid more attention to Native Americans and where they lived, because they went to where the water is, as opposed to dragging the water to where they want it.
I don't think they were as concerned with the views as people are today.
Now, some pundits say what's going to retard the growth of China is actually their water needs. Why don't you talk about what's going on in China?
Lack of water or quality of the water?
No, lack of water.
Lack of water.
Go ahead.
Yeah, China has huge swaths of China don't have water. And, you know, one of the biggest public works projects was this Yangtze Dam project that they did. I think it was the largest ever. And, you know, they're having to do this right now. I mean, China's, you know, manufacturing has certain caps on it. You know, the price, you know, everyone talks about the price in China of, you know, the rising wage as eventually being something that'll normalize the pricing more and make it a more price competitive place for other regions to deal with. But far outpacing that is the price they're going to have to be paying for water. That's going to get passed along to the consumer and built into the price, much the way we do here. You know, probably individual households aren't going to feel a huge bite, but more so it's just going to be worked into the price of products as more and more of these things get built out, especially in such a centralized economy. That is something that more than one pundit is started to take notice of. That'll be a huge problem for China.
Now, talk about, so Mexico City has 30 million people that live there, right?
Yes.
And what's the water situation there?
There is no water in Mexico City.
Let's see.
Is there?
Here we go.
it literally is visible in Mexico City that there has actually been shifts in the land of the bedrock of parts of the city settling because the water underneath it has just dried it out and changed the density and literally moved the land. It's literally emptying out from underneath. You know, it's not sustainable.
And, you know, for the first time in the world's history, I think it was like only like 2006 or so, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, more people lived in cities across the globe than they lived, you know, in rural areas. And you're going to continue to see this where, again, all services, but particularly water, have to come to a centralized place for a large number of people. I mean, again, not only is the sheer number of people causing us to have to use more water on the earth, it's where also they have located themselves, and as we try to deal with that migration that's causing so many of these problems as well going forward.
I think there's a lot of people don't realize that California wouldn't have the water they have if we hadn't diverted part of Colorado River.
True, to the detriment of the other states around it.
Right.
And now, good luck with California controlling like a quarter of the congressional votes is ever changing.
Right. We're not going to turn that off. Yeah.
Yeah. It was basically highway robbery. I mean, yeah, there is literally a cap on the growth of some of the other states in the region, ultimately, not that you'll notice it immediately, but ultimately because California gets rights to that water. And, you know, it's particularly galling. I remember I was out somewhere near, it wasn't San Diego, it was somewhere out in Southern California, and I was literally on a cab driving out through avocado groves and all this kind of stuff, and I get to my hotel, and it tells me to not flush the toilet every time I go to the bathroom.
Because you're saving water, yeah.
Yeah, to save water. I'm like, you know, you're growing avocados, one of the most water-intensive crops, in sand, and you're telling me not to flush a toilet?
Yeah,
you get your priorities straight, you know, and in California, even though with the huge population, you know, something like 72% of the water in California is for agriculture.
Oh, sure.
I mean, sounds like that cruise line. Couldn't flush for 3 days.
So, Mark, in the time we have left, what are some of the answers to these problems, or have we not figured it out yet?
You know, because water from a pricing perspective really just doesn't affect people, it doesn't really occur to them. And that's not going to change. The price is going to remain diverted. I think whenever anybody is part of a dialogue wants to put on the table fair pricing for water, they're out of their minds. It's not going to happen. It's going to be eaten up by industries and things along that line. However, there are users of water, of larger amounts of water that need diversions and things like that, which you're seeing, who are able to buy it pretty much, you know, market or lower than market rates. That needs to be affected. I mean, if industry needs to start paying more, at least there's more money going into upkeep the system and things like that. You know, agriculture in this country, to be honest, as much as it's such a bedrock part of lives, you know, heck, it was what everyone did in New England, too, and there's no real farms around here anymore. You know, you get used to it. You find something else to do. California is really not an affordable place long term, or even in the midterm, for agriculture. And you know, to let them keep just wasting all this water and the energy that comes with it and everything, just so that they can, you know, let a few land barons who sit on agriculture property keep operating when we can get it cheaper elsewhere. You know, there really needs to be a conversation.
I actually saw a piece in the Times about these skyscraper farms that they're building in India and China.
You mean where they're growing the things inside the building?
In a skyscraper.
Yeah. No, I've seen some of those.
Have you seen that, Mark?
Yeah, and you know, and that's really a, you know, one of the many things you're seeing. You know, agriculture, for all it uses, mind you, and I don't mean to pick on them because they use a lot. They use it more efficiently than any other industry on earth. I mean, we're supposed to, you know, back to Malthus running out of food, but, you know, certainly through the 70s, we're seeing some horrible patterns emerge, and the agriculture industry figured out how to do pinpoint agriculture, everything from, you know, ag biotech, where the seeds need less water, to pinpoint irrigation, to, you know, very sophisticated systems that track the weather so that, you know, things watered right and precisely. You know, agriculture industry gets every dime, so to speak, out of the water they have.
So yeah, there's
a bigger conversation. Should we be doing it, you know, every place that we do it right now? That needs to be talked about.
All right, and we only have about 60 seconds left, Mark, so any parting thought there?
You know, I think if anything's going to change in water, you know, it's probably going to be, I think, in the most immediate place and where the most immediate pain point is in the infrastructure. You know, and when you're talking about job creation as well, you know, it's a great time to have that conversation. It does have to be repaired. There are cities in America that lose more than 60% of the water in transport. And, you know, overall, we lose well over 20 across the United States.
Yeah, that's really a shame. It's one thing if you're using the water for something, but to just have it kind of disappear and transport is a huge waste.
Right, where Singapore loses, like, you know, like 3.5%, and I think, you know, Berlin, like 6, you know, things like that. And, you know, when you look at this, and you look at the facts from the stimulus dollars, and analysis of it showed that the most jobs were actually created by the water infrastructure investment. A lot of that has to do with the fact that when you rip up streets and lay a new pipe, it's very disruptive. And so you need cops, you need you need a lot of things. And so it's a very efficient way of creating jobs. And, you know, if we're looking for another part of a stimulus or something to work, you know, America's cities really need new water infrastructure, and it's a way of killing two birds with one stone. So I think my parting thought would be, you know, both for the economy and for a long-term delivery of water, it's probably a good time to think about it.
Okay. And with that, we are out of time. Mark, thanks so much for being
with
us.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
To talk about health and technology here on This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Have a great week.